Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That's what Rogers used to say, isn't
Mr.
it?
That's what that was. Wow, that gave me a flashback to being a child. Wow, Mr. Rogers.
Laughing at myself, but it's like 78 degrees and the sun is shining and it's beautiful and the grass is green and it's a wonderful day, at least here in this part of the world. And I feel so sorry for other parts of the world and what they're going through and how scared they are, but I really don't have any options for them.
Yeah.
We can talk about the environment and what's happening and people's loss of freedom and religious freedom, but there is so much going on that we can't touch, but in our little teeny show we try to provide people information and ideas to make a better life, at least in the here and now. So welcome our audience. I know there were some problems with the log on. I don't know what else to tell you about how to get on. Richard said he figured out a back door. You want to tell him how to do that, Richard?
What I did is you can go to the link, you can go to Sound Health, I believe it's soundhealth.webex.com, and the information that if you go to that link, then what will happen is it'll ask you to put in your email and your name and address and all that, but also the password, and the password that is on the Blog Talk Radio page is the correct password, and that's how I got in, because the WebEx link, the big red WebEx link, didn't work today. But that's people who are here that are regulars can get in that way. And also, if you want to, since we're simulcasting over at Blog Talk Radio, if you want to just call in and listen, you can also call in at 347-850-1407. So Sherry's running the WebEx where we have chat going on over there, and you'll see things that we're talking about. And then at Blog Talk Radio, I also have a chat where I'm running that.
We have no audio.
Oh, no audio over at WebEx. Now I bet we do. Yes, we do. I see the little thought bubbles moving, so we must have audio. And then also, as I say, you can always call in at the 347-850-1407 or join me at WebEx.
Oh, I have a couple of announcements before we get to our very special repeat guest that we love a lot, Stephen Hewer is with us. And he's going to talk about a topic that is dear to the hearts of at least 65% of Americans. They're calling us obese. I don't really believe their numbers, because according to them, when I'm normal and look good and get whistled at in my youth, I'm like 30 pounds overweight. So I used to be a weightlifter, so maybe I just had heavy muscles or something. But for them, the authorities, to call people obese when they're 20 pounds overweight seems a bit much. Except they don't do that in California, do they, Richard, where all the beautiful people live?
Well, you see, in California, particularly in Southern California, where we have that heavy Hollywood influence, we have the other end of the spectrum where all of the women are, in my opinion, anorexic because they're not allowed to have a little bit of extra body fat, even a proportional ratio of, you know, body fat, because on TV you're supposed to be thin as a stick. So it's a, you know, we swing both ways.
I think on TV, some people look too gaunt, too unhealthy. They turn sideways and almost disappear. But maybe I'm just jealous. Okay.
I don't know. I think we'll consult with Stephen about that. I know this is going to be a rousing conversation with Stephen, always is. And we can talk to him about that, about the, you know, other side of the coin where people get too thin, and particularly women then throw off their hormones because they don't have enough fat to make estrogen. Excuse me.
Yes. Do you have any announcements before we get to our guest?
I do. I have one about, and it seemed to fit right in. I just sent it to you in chat over at Skype, if you can put that up. And it's a group of, a variety of groups are suing the FDA over GMO salmon. And, okay, so we know that's going on. But the part that I like so much about this suit is that the suit is being brought to them about based on the lawsuit says the agency didn't consider environmental risks. So they're not just saying that GMO salmon are bad, or they're not, you know, it's a new angle, which I like a lot, saying, well, did you consider maybe this wouldn't be good for the environment? You know, so it's a different way of bringing it to the audience, of going like, oh, it's not just perhaps bad for us. What about the environment in which we live? So I think that's fabulous. I'll put that in both chats. I'm happy to see any rabble-rousing going on that's like, you know, what about the precautionary principle, where we actually check things out and do research before we just stamp it? Yes, go ahead and make those, you know, salmon glow in the dark because they can. Yikes.
There's got to be some ulterior motive. Why would they want to keep from people the fact that they're eating certain things? It's illogical. So we're going to ask Stephen about that one too. I have, that's a great announcement, and I can really tell the difference in a restaurant when the salmon is, farm grown. It just doesn't have any taste. And then you get an Alaska one, and, I mean, it's just really different. Like free-range eggs that have a lot of flavor and color beyond these store-bought eggs that are kind of all bland-looking, and they have a texture, but they don't taste like much.
But well, actually, I find I'll jump on the egg bandwagon for a moment. I've eaten pastured eggs for so many years that when I go someplace and I have regular eggs, it's always like, what is that? It's like eating Velveeta. You know, it's that same, like, this looks like it should be something, but it just doesn't taste the same, because real eggs, like grass-fed beef or any, you know, thing that we eat from nature that's been out there in the world, is getting all sorts of different minerals and different things. And, yeah, weird-looking light egg yolks, always a little spooky to me.
Well, George is saying in the chat over here, so people can get sick and need more prescription drugs. That's why they do it, because there's no nutrients in the food. And again, we're going to talk to Stephen about that. This is his bailiwick. I have one small announcement. We have reinstated our free classes. So many people called us up and said, I promise. All we ask them is if they would give us data back. I promise, if you'll just let me take the course again. And I don't have any money. You know, I hear that constantly, that there's just no money. But people, we put enough free software on our site and marketing information, and we're willing to go with you on the radio. There's enough on the site already for you to open a bioacoustic center in your community. And at that point, you're charging people. Tell them. You have to charge them because you're collecting money so you can become a professional bioacoustic provider. And we are, in May, coming out with a class that's specifically for diet. And we're going to look at all of the fat switch hibernation genes that get turned on and off for some people, especially those with gout. But you can't go turn those off anywhere but with bioacoustic frequencies. An ultimate diet dealing with all of the neurotransmitters, another bio diet program that deals with adiponectin and ghrelin and all of those things. So so we are going to be doing a big project on, well, there's four Sherry Edwardses come into this class. That is just really weird. They're going to get themselves mixed up here. But anyway, we will be doing that class, and hopefully the 2 day of it will be free also. Join us next week, Thursday and Friday, 7th and 8th of April, and we'll be doing a class on muscle performance. And that is a big one that you can go to your local gym or wherever people are working out and want to be beautiful people and do their vocal prints and show them how not to be at risk while they're exercising, and how to make their muscles more cooperative. I got up this morning and I had a backache, and I did 30 seconds of my sound, and it said, this is the frequency you should use because this muscle is low, and I put it on, and within a couple of minutes, no more back pain. And there's millions of people who have back pain, and it's that easy to take a vocal print and get the frequencies and provide them to your client, and no more back pain. Now, if you want to say you have back pain so you can have a day off when you really want it, that's okay with us, but nobody has to have back pain anymore from, well, I shouldn't say it that strongly. Nobody should have back pain. People who don't want back pain shouldn't have to put up with it, and I think with bioacoustics we can do that. So that was my long way around announcement.
I like that reworking. That was very good.
Well, I don't want to get in trouble with the FDA. And one of the things that we have kept this under wraps for so long is that we wanted to make sure that everyone had a chance to be exposed to this before the government came in and took it over and says, this is too important for you people to have, you dumb people to have, so we're going to take it over. Sherry said to everyone, I got in without signing in. Now, that's not me, Sherry Edwards, who's doing that. So we need to find out, put your name in, who did that, because we need to find out what is going wrong that people are coming in without signing in. Okay, Richard, would you introduce our guest?
I'd be thrilled. As I say, Stephen is always a fun roller coaster ride because everybody can be off and running. It's great. Stephen Heuer is a degreed naturopath, nutritional consultant. He's in his 25th year of full-time practice. Stephen began his search for better health at age 16 when mercury-based dental fillings derailed his health. By being a vigilant student of health, he discovered what it took to achieve restoration of his own well-being. He teaches that health can be restored when you bring all the factors into play necessary for it. Many people fail to gain back a high quality of life because they are not taught the correct combination of factors needed to achieve it. Hence, Stephen calls his company Synergistic Nutrition, as it is a synergistic combination of diet, nutraceuticals, and mental-emotional factors that play into the equation of ideal well-being and health. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Sherry. It's always a pleasure to be back on the show with both of you. You're such heart-centered, loving individuals that I consider you family despite not being family. So I appreciate both of you very much, and thank you for all you do to educate people, get them empowered with the right knowledge so that they're aware of how much power they have to change their lives and change the world. So, thank you.
That's incredibly, Stephen. My first biggie question is here, how do we get in this mess and how are we going to get out of it?
The overall subject of nutrition, or are you talking about something specific?
Just, we're not getting the right nutrients, we're craving food because we can't get the nutrients, getting overweight. Unless Richard has, and he always does, a more coherent question to start with.
Well, I would say I have a similar question, but my angle on it is slightly different. What do you think was the start point of this? Was it the technological revolution, and I put that in air quotes, that we begin to skew our diets away from, like, our great-grandparents? I don't think we even have to go back for. Probably my grandparents ate a good diet because that was how they grew their food. They ate their food. There wasn't this, you know, what the technological revolution of, like, look, your food on the shelf in a box. So do you think that was the beginning of the, I want to say downfall, but I want to recontextualize that. Do you think that was a, like, you know, drop in the roller coaster where we began to, like, not getting really good foods and our diet went sideways?
I think that it was a combination of things, because if you go back to before 1945, people ate foods grown on farms that were using traditional methods of fertility, you know, cow manure and planting green cover crops and tilling them into the earth. And there was a certain degree of, you know, actual farming, real natural organic farming going on, I guess. Land husbandry work was being done. And so foods were naturally richer in nutritional elements, so that when the parents ate those foods, their bodies were nourished and their reproductive systems were nourished. And the starting point of the constitutions that we all have is, what did your parents do prior to conception? And so if parents were eating normal, natural, healthy foods, which is in the early 1900s, that's all they had, then pretty much everybody was guaranteed a strong constitution. I mean, it's the majority of people, at least. And in terms of the ovum and the sperm that come together to conceive a new human body, the actual protein structure that makes up the ovum and the sperm was dependent upon what the parents ate prior to conception. So that's a big factor that most people don't really understand. They'll, you know, when they talk about, yeah, my grandma, she smoked and drank until she was in her 80s and 90s, and she never had any problems, and same thing with their grandpa, and they don't realize and understand that it's like the body they those grandparents got back in, you know, 1920, 1925, 1930 was so much stronger on average than today because of what the parents ate prior to conception. And so then during gestation, the body develops really well, and then, of course, their neonatal years, they get, some of them were breastfed back in the 30s and stuff. People were still drinking raw milk in abundance. So you had foundational things in the diet that ensured really strong body development, even if there was some white sugar and white flour in the diet that, you know, stripped of all of its nutrients, because the majority of what was there was still decent. Raw milk, good eggs, good produce, good meats, rich in nutrients, and that's the majority of the diet. And so you end up with strong people. And then you come, after 1945, you have chemical fertilization that was used. You have the progressive depletion of the microorganism population of the farming land. So instead of there being all the bacteria and fungi in the soil that are manufacturers of the sugar, or manufacturers of nutrients and metabolizers of minerals that feed the root system of the plant, so that plant will produce an optimal level of protein, minerals, sugars, all those things, all progressively started to decline. But you had a window of about 10 years from 1945 to 1955 where chemical agriculture looked good, still produced pretty decent food, but after, from about 1955 forward, the nutrient levels in the soil became really, really low on the mass farming scale operations, and you ended up with more and more people born into the world where parents were eating those refined, depleted foods, and they were being conceiving humans with much weaker constitutions genetically. And then you have the medical system believing the myth of, you know, the germ theory of disease, the vaccinations are needed as a source of fortifying the immune system, the human body. So those became forced onto the population in ever greater quantities, from vaccines to antibiotics and things to deal with infections. So then you kill off the human microbiome in your gut from the antibiotics, and all those 400 to 600 microorganisms that should live in your gut, not only are they your immune system, part of your immune system, but they are also manufacturers of protein. So they actually metabolize foodstuffs, and I believe this is yet to be proven, but based upon what I've been exposed to and learned, I believe that they manufacture specific peptides that feed your nervous system, feed the repair processes of the body, keep the body super strong. And so if you decimate that population so you don't have that, then you're relying on a much lower level of protein synthesis. You're relying just on your liver and just on certain other tissue systems to get enough amino acids to make enough proteins to take care of repair, whereas that digestive tract was another key aspect that kind of got knocked out and never fully recovers because of the repeated use of antibiotics and people consuming foods that have antibiotics laced in them and whatever. There's just a lot of factors. Plus, there's all the environmental pollution. If you look at just one atomic bomb detonated in I remember when they detonated one that was in a vicinity that affected the entire Georgia peach crop for about 3 years, where just the radiation waves are so disharmonious. Even if it's done, I'm talking about underground bombs, just the emanation of that frequency is so devastating to the to agriculture and to human life that for like 3 years you couldn't get any peaches out of Georgia because it was so devastating. Mutations and unhealthy crops because of the frequency emanation that affected the whole cell division process of the plants, not to mention what it did to animals and everyone else. So you got that going on, and all the atomic bombs that have been detonated in the 50s and things that devastated things for a while, or hydrogen bombs, I think it did in those days. It just a bunch of factors so that it makes it hard. If you look at TV shows that were filmed in the 70s and stuff, like, you know, the Happy Days and American Graffiti and whatever, you've got people were all thin. 98% of everybody that was living there eating those hamburgers and eating their french fries and whatever, pancakes on weekends, and supposedly not an ideal diet, were thin. They were not overweight. Obesity was not even an issue. And people were still eating ice cream on a frequent basis and white flour products. So there's a lot of other factors. I think it was partly the addition of MSG into the food supply, because the flavor, you know, scientists out there that decided how can we get people to like our food better, and oh, by the way, this is going to help them be more addicted and want to buy more of our stuff, from Pringles potato chips to smokehouse almonds to any prepackaged, you know, spaghetti sauce or pre-bottled spaghetti sauce, condiment, seasoning thing out there, prepackaged food, even ice cream, can have, you know, food-derived MSG in it. Well, food-derived MSG is going to be a great contributor to damaging your cell's ability to utilize insulin, so you get insulin insensitivity, and the inability to use insulin means you can't use glucose efficiently, so all the carb you consume doesn't get used to create energy or store as glycogen, so it starts converting into fat. And if you look at, you know, because people ate fast foods in the 40s and 50s, you know, particularly in the 50s, and I should say, and there wasn't obesity, you know, so they started to add this stuff to the food supply, these chemicals, MSG, food-derived MSG being probably the main one, and they've already tested it on rats. You know, you want to test a rat for a drug that's supposed to cause the animal to lose body fat, you first have to make it fat, so they actually inject the animal's body intramuscularly with MSG. That produces it to become obese. Then they give it the drug, and then the animal loses its weight, but then they have to determine whether or not there was any damage done to the organ. So if they kill the animal to see the degree of damage the drug may or may not have done to the vital organs, and then the way they kill the animal is they inject MSG into the bloodstream of the rat, which then kills the brain, and it dies that way. So MSG is probably the biggest thing, and it's all, again, it's not going under the name MSG. It's undergoing the name natural flavors, modified food starch, or yeast extract. It's these various names. There's books out there on that. Hidden Assassins in Food is probably one of the best compilations of a little, you know, treatise on how you can determine different names of hidden MSG, food-derived MSG that's in the food supply. I think that's the biggest culprit today that causes people to gain fat weight unnecessarily despite eating relatively what would seemingly be normal balanced diet.
So I want to toss one addition into everything that you said. You could just drop the mic and walk off stage after everything you just said. That okay, and I'm out. I would be like, okay, think about all that. That was excellent. The one thing I would add to that is also that our grandparents ate seasonally. they ate what they were growing in each season. We didn't have this thing where, I'm not picking on Chile, I just see that. You know, like we get grapes from Chile, you know, during year-round because of a different environment. We actually ate regionally. That's a big thing now in the restaurant industry to like, oh, locavore foods, which means it's within 100 miles. Well, that was the lifestyle. You didn't have, you know, in our grandparents didn't have food trucked in from, you know, wherever they, you know, the other end of the country. They ate regionally, they ate seasonally, so they ate with the seasons that give them sort of a built-in rotational diet. You know, there was just a bunch of benefit to living that way that nobody thought about then. So I don't know.
I don't agree that that's a factor in obesity or not obesity. That might be
a factor.
I'm not saying
it's about obesity. I just mean in terms of the, you know, like what health. You're talking about, that we the overall health, that and also the, you know, overall immune system benefit and the epigenetic potential that we as the, you know, production of their sperm and their ovum getting together, that, you know, eating seasonally, eating regionally, made them healthier in the long term. Like you said, I have grandparents and parents, particularly my father, you know, drank until his mid-80s, you know, like heavily.
Yeah.
But he lived to his mid-80s.
Yeah, exactly.
He had that foundation. He had that foundational strength, that epigenetic potential to be an ox till his mid-80s, drinking
like a fish. Exactly.
You know, that's really what I'm talking about. I think that eating seasonally, eating regionally contributes to that overall strength of an immune system and the microbiome and everything that we're talking about. But I want to redirect this slightly. And so with the MSG, you're saying that the MSG is what I would call an irritant or an immune suppressor or an immune stressor, such that as a foundation. And then if you pile MSG along with all the other potential irritants that we have, the glyphosates and the gene, you know, genetic weirdness of certain grains and stuff. So it's that whole thing you feel that is really leading to, we seem like we could be eating a good diet, but we're getting fat off of it because of all of those irritants to our system?
MSG is probably the biggest one. GMO foods is probably another big one. Derailment to your metabolism, irritation to the body. The other thing is that your body doesn't like a chemical called advanced glycation end products. And so what an advanced glycation end product is, it's an amino acid bound to a sugar, and that reaction occurs chemically rather than enzymatically. And advanced glycation end products exist in foods naturally in their raw state in varying degrees. The lowest amounts are in fruits and vegetables, dairy, and grains. And the highest amounts are in meats and some nuts. And when you cook your foods with dry heat methods, well, particularly your meats, you create chemical reactions in the meat that causes the sugar, naturally occurring glycogen sugar in the meats, to chemically convert, react with amino acids and create like 100% more of these advanced glycation end products than are naturally there. And now your body's flooded with something that it doesn't like. And because we only have a certain limited capacity for detox, and because our systems are extremely stressed and biologically weaker generationally compared to previous generations, and environmentally there's so many other negative factors, because we're sort of overwhelmed with so many stressors already, the ability to keep pace with detoxing these advanced glycation end products is now not as competent as earlier generations. So you end up with these things starting to deposit in the system. And these advanced glycation end products deposit in any tissue they come in contact with, your arteries, your kidneys, your brain, your pancreas, whatever, creating insulin insensitivity, creating therefore the obesity problem, creating kidney weakness leading to kidney failure, creating cross-linking of your arteries so that you've got hardening of the arteries, creating neurological damage so you've got dementia developing and or any number of different things, all because of cooked foods cooked with dry heat. So one of the messages that I want people to take home with them with regards to, you know, improving quality of life and increasing longevity is to consider what a lot of traditional cultures have done and use water methods of cooking. So water methods of cooking will protect you from, it will lower the production of the advanced glycation end products to a huge degree, so that Like, say, for instance, if you marinated your meats in, like, a brine solution with herbs, like if you're making corned beef, that removes the factors that would create the advanced glycation end products to a large degree. Or if you do it, marinate it with a lemon juice or a vinegar-type solution with a meat, you know, if you're doing it with meats, same thing, it's going to lower it to a significant degree. Or if you cook with water, which is crock pots or steaming or stewing, these are the methods of cooking that are the healthiest for the body with regards to advanced glycation end products. So there's a, this chemical deposits in our body, and if we don't have the biochemical capacity to remove it or prevent its deposition, then it does deposit, and we end up with a tissue system that's becoming weaker and more inefficient in its function. So you end up gaining weight. You end up becoming lower in energy. You end up, you know, not having the mental powers and the drive that you used to have, all because of advanced glycation end products that most people completely unaware of, don't realize. But if you think about it, just think of the subject of, like, chicken soup. You know, for generations, people have been told that chicken soup will help them to overcome their cold or their sniffles, you know, and it does. And there's something beneficial. There's the peptides and other nutrients and the whatever that are still usable to the body, and people benefit from that. But there's never been a recommendation to go eat barbecue chicken to overcome your cold or flu. You know, it's a vast difference physiologically how a soup-created meat broth affects the body compared to a barbecue or a dry heat cooked chicken or turkey or whatever. So that's an important thing to be aware of. Personally, I need to, because of the stressors my body's been through, because of the genetics that I got, I have to be more careful than most people. So I eat 100% raw diet. So basically, I mean, I won't say I do that all the time, but most of the time I'm 100% raw, vegetarian, plant-based, with raw goat's milk, raw my whey protein powder, and eggs when I want them, raw eggs when I want them, blended up with, like, fruit. And that, to me, makes me feel better physically, mentally, emotionally. My body's more flexible, all these different things. If I eat cooked meats, within a day or two, I'm feeling, like, you know, kind of, like, slowed energy, depressed, and don't have the juice that I'd like to have to operate my life.
And how do we so then that also means that pressure cooking, which once you get over the fear of using a pressure cooker, it's like a miracle device. So that also means that using a pressure cooker would be an awesome way to cook meats, because you're cooking in moisture and you're pressurizing that moisture actually into the proteins that you're going to eat. Is that true?
Yeah, that's exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I love a good, like I say, once you get past the fear of a pressure cooker, they're like an amazing thing. You just have to get past that, like, it could blow up. Yes, it could blow up. So could your stove. You know, let's just breathe in about it. That's a whole other thing. So how do we process out, I mean, besides avoiding this N-glycation products, is there a way once we have them that we can process them out, or is it complete diet change to do that?
Once they're in your system, you would have to upregulate your body's detoxification pathways. So phase one and phase two liver detoxification would need to be upregulated. So your green vegetable juices that have some, you know, kale or any of the brassicas vegetables, kale, collards, all have indole-free carbonyl and these compounds that upregulate phase one liver detoxification. So drinking green vegetable juice would help with one phase of detox. Then the other one is, of course, I recommend people consume our One World Whey, because, quite frankly, it's the best one that I know of on the market. Just to give people a little recap on that, when you process whey protein into a dry powder, the processing of whey will cause proteins to fold in on themselves, and when proteins lose their correct shape, then the function that protein might have therapeutically in your body, such as the lactoferrin for anti-cancer purposes, such as the glycomacropeptide to kill viruses in your body or gut to protect your gut from dysentery, or the immunoglobulins to protect your immune system, or the growth factors to cause tissue repair, they're functionally not going to work anymore. Yes, you can still break down the proteins into amino acids and use the amino acids for tissue repair and human health, but it's a vastly more superior product when the proteins have retained their structure. So One World Whey goes through a process of restoring its protein structure so that you get the benefit of those proteins, and the effect on the cells is quite pronounced, such that we've had a lot of people report the successful detoxification of heavy metals, And also, I just got my hair test, or my urine toxic metal profile done recently, where I've done many urine heavy metal challenge tests in the 90s and early 2000s, showing always off the chart elevated levels of mercury, because that's what my nemesis was that I'd been dealing with since I was 16. And it stays in the system a long time, dependent upon your ability to detoxify and what you do. And so all the clean eating and all the perfect dieting and fasting never got rid of the mercury. Then supplementation and sophisticated eating didn't get rid of it either. Then I had to intervene with specific supplements that would get it out, and it only got it out partially. And then I continued with all kinds of supplements over many years and doing these follow-up heavy metal challenge tests and seeing what was in my blood or on my body. And anyways, this most recent one that I did is the first one I've done where I have zero level of mercury showing in my body. Well, I've been on One World Way for several years. Well, this is like proof positive that this is the most sophisticated and effective way to resurrect glutathione production, and then glutathione resurrects liver function and SOD, superoxide dismutase, catalase, and then this enables you to detoxify toxins. Now, I don't have any lab tests that show here's how much advanced glycation end products is excreted out of your urine or bowels after you do something, but improving detox pathways is really important. And that would be my first recommendation, is this person consuming the whey protein twice a day to ensure they keep their glutathione production in a higher range 24 hours a day to support that detox process.
Okay, and what about, since we're talking about whey, the magical whey, which I'm a big fan of, what about people who have issues with digesting, you know, have issues with lactose? How does that fit into using the One World Whey?
There's not sufficient levels to be an issue in the whey, because the whey, when you process whey into a powder, one of the things that's removed is lactose. A large percentage of the lactose is removed to the point that it's like a non-issue. And I have lactose intolerance, so I can take it and I don't have any problem at all. And every single person that has lactose intolerance to date that's called us and told us so, they have no problem with it at all either.
Cool. Okay. I have a question from the audience, back to when we were talking about proteins before. Should we be avoiding nuts? How do nuts fit into all this?
Well, I use them liberally in my diet, and the way that I use them is I will soak them for 12 to 24 hours, almonds, pine nuts, mac nuts, pecans, sunflower seeds, walnuts, you name it, and then I will puree them in water, and I will puree them like a cup of nuts or seeds. I'll puree in a cup of water, pure water, and I'll do it with a probiotic called Life Biotic, and so then I puree it with that beneficial bacteria product. I then pour it into a mason jar, put that into the oven with just the oven light on, and leave it there for 4 hours. And those specific bacteria in a product called Life Biotic will eat the proteins and the fats and the starches in the nut or seed and break them down into amino acids, fatty acids, and sugars, thus predigesting it. So normally, nuts and seeds are full of trypsin inhibitors, which inhibits protein digestion, full of phytic acid, which inhibits mineral absorption. By soaking it for 12 to 24 hours, you negate or eliminate the majority of those negative factors, and then you do this predigestion process, and now you've turned it into a protein, fatty acid, nutrient powerhouse that's a living protein that won't contribute to negative outcomes in the body, but will contribute to tissue repair and strength. And the guy that recently introduced this to me, Lou Corona, he's a 64-year-old man that looks and functions like a 35-year-old, and he's the strongest man I've ever met. He's been doing this diet for 43 years. He got converted onto this diet, raw vegan vegetarian diet with nuts, cultured nuts and seeds is like a nut seed yogurt type thing as a principal part of the diet. He got converted to it 43 years ago when he was 21, when he had a neck tumor and a lot of other problems. And in 6 months, all of his problems were gone. And he's been on it ever since. And he's the strongest, youngest looking guy in the nutrition field I've ever met. One of the things about the diet that's challenging is that when you have an infection in the body, and most people that have any degree of health issues going on have one or more infections of virus, fungus, bacteria, or parasites. It's called hidden infections. They're there. And they're living in the environment that's created for them, and they're metabolizing things, and your immune system is having to work overtime to produce antibodies to defend itself from those organisms. And so the job of your body your body's protein needs have gone up considerably for your immune system just to keep up with the fight of producing antibodies. And it's a large job. So when you're trying to do this diet and you haven't got rid of your infections, it can be very challenging. You can end up becoming very hungry and wanting more protein and wanting to eat your fish, chicken, beef, whatever, and to satiate your protein needs. But then you go right back into accelerating inflammation and advanced glycation and product deposition and not feeling good again. So I recommend people get onto a product we have called Trident, which is a natural. It's a chitin is derived from crab shell, so it's made from it's got chitin in it, and it's also got a seaweed extract called Eclonia cava, and those two things together are powerful antiviral, antiparasitic, antifungal, antipathogenic bacteria. Natural product to take on a daily basis to sort of like knock down the population of virus, fungus, and bacteria in the body to make it so you don't have to have your immune system working overtime, producing proteins, trying to defend itself all the time. And it makes this diet then a much easier thing to follow and to feel more satisfied and progressively become younger and stronger. And people that do it and succeed at doing it, they get younger, stronger. It's amazing how youthful they look by doing it.
Wow. And is the life say a bit more about the Life Biotic. Is that available on your Synergy site?
Yeah.
Synergistic Nutrition? Okay.
Yes. SGN80.com is the website. SGN80.com. It is called Life Biotic, but it's not the word that we normally think of. It's an acronym. So LIFE is L-I-Y-F, and it stands for Life in Your Food, Biotic, and it's five bacterial organisms that are uniquely more powerful at digesting protein. So they're more powerful. Like if you just took a Lactobacillus acidophilus and tried to do the same thing, you wouldn't get the same results. You have to use these to get the enhanced result of predigesting the proteins into amino acids in those nuts and seeds. And those become the basis. I'll take miso, and I'll take a cup of that kind of a nut yogurt, and I'll take a teaspoon or so of miso, and I'll then add a couple of grains of salt.
We just lost Stephen for a moment. I'm not sure what that means.
I was hearing him fine.
I was too.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
Okay, you're good.
Still here?
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. All right, well, anyway, so basically I'll take a teaspoon of the miso, I'll add a few grains of salt, maybe some dill, maybe some sage, blend that up with the cup of the nut yogurt, and that goes on top, and then I pour that on top of my salad that I have once a day. And so you end up with that to me is the best salad dressing I've ever come up with. I don't like oil and vinegar salad dressings because I don't like that much fat in my, it just doesn't feel right for my body to eat that much fat. This has been the best salad dressing I've ever had. It sustains me. It feels great. My mind and my body work better. I have more endurance because my body's not battling with inflammation. And another thing about the cooked food diet is that it leads to a state of chronic inflammation because you're eating foods. Your body basically has all these enzymes in its system to cause metabolism. So you have enzymes in your kidneys, your liver, your pancreas, your brain, and all these metabolic enzymes regulate those organ systems' ability to function. So when you cook a food, you destroy the enzyme content of the food. Previously, when you eat the food raw, it has enzymes in it that's going to enable you to, it's going to digest itself in your system. It's not going to demand enzymes from your body to digest itself. Once you cook it, you destroy the enzymes, and now the body has to be asked to produce enzymes to digest it. So the body actually then steals the metabolic enzymes from your liver, your kidney, your pancreas, your spleen, your heart, whatever, to create digestive enzymes. So it transforms them. People are postulating based on all the evidence, it looks like the pancreas is transforming metabolic enzymes into digestive enzymes to take care of this emergency situation, which then ages all the organs. And if you look at animals, horses and stuff, you know, you could do an assay of their saliva, and they eat their grass and their hay all day long. And here you have an animal that's eating a high starch, high carbohydrate food, and yet it's not producing any salivary amylase like we do. It doesn't need it because the hay and the grass it's eating is raw. Yet with humans, when they eat their grains, starches, whatever, then we produce salivary amylase because we're eating cooked starches all the time or cooked foods all the time. So we have to then donate the enzymes out of our body to digest the starch. Well, that leads to the whole depletion of the metabolic enzyme levels in the body, which is essentially aging. So that's another, you know, avenue, angle to look at as to why the value of a raw food diet is so great, especially in our day and age when we're dealing with so many health challenges. And, you know, we think we're doing ourselves good by taking that herbal extract or that supplement, but at the same time, you know, you're also then eating a food which is causing chronic inflammation and depletion of enzymes. And regarding the inflammation, the food you when you cook a food, you lose a lot of the electron content of the food. The rawness enables it to be more of an electron donor, more of an antioxidant food. Cooking it robs it of its electron content to a large degree. So now when it goes into the system, it's demanding that its chemistry be balanced, and it's stealing electrons from the body, which causes damage to the cells and inflammation, chronic inflammation. So, you know, people get puffy as they get older, and they wonder why. But you look at people that are doing a raw food diet, when they do it correctly, they don't have any puffiness. They got the same youthful neck and skin and face features that they had when they were younger. I've seen it in numerous people. And there are a lot of people don't do it right, and they become emaciated, unhealthy, you know, sallow-looking vegetarians. But I'm talking about doing this right. It takes a little bit of knowledge to do it correctly, but you can. And it's the quality of life you feel is so much better that, for me, it's vastly worth it. I've done, you know, had my fair share of tasty foods over the years, like most people that are, you know, I'm 55, so, you know, you've lived long enough, you've tasted enough things. I'm not so much interested in things tasting the best anymore. I already know what that's like. I'm interested in feeling my best.
Of course. And then I have a question about the soaking the nuts. Are you soaking them in such a way that they're actually sprouting somewhat, so they're developing some of their own enzymes along with the adding the – is the life biotic kind of a short fermentation process by putting it in the stove for warmth?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're activating the metabolism of the nut or seed so that the whole life process is resurrected. You may not actually generate a sprout from some of the nuts because if they're once removed from their shell, like, you know, a pecan or a walnut, and it's a fragmented nut, it's not going to sprout. But you're still resurrecting the life processes. You're still removing the phytic acid. You're still getting rid of the trypsin inhibitors from that soaking process. And then you are then doing this, some of them, you know, like sunflower seeds and stuff that will sprout. That's and or sesame seed or sunflower seed, they're going to germinate and produce roots. Yes, you can let them sprout for a couple of days and even get more metabolic power going and more nutrient development stuff so that when you, you know, go ahead and predigest that, it's got more vitamin content. But, yeah, it's mainly you're getting the life processes resurrected, getting the enzyme inhibitor and the phytic acid gone or reduced. And then you're predigesting it so that now it's an easily assimilatable protein source, an easily assimilatable source of amino acids from a nut or a seed that typically would not be.
Is the same diet going to be good for everybody, or are there these kind of people need these kind of food, this kind of people need this kind? Is there a separation there?
Thus far, I've not seen that. I mean, the guy that introduced it to me, he's an O blood type, and he's been doing it for 43 years. Like I said, he's got great muscle mass. He's the strongest man I've ever met. You know, at 64, he's got so much vitality and virility that he's still planning on getting married and having a family. You know, he hasn't done that yet. He's working on creating his own business first that's, you know, very successful before he moves on to the wife and kids. And for someone that's 64 to be planning on that at that age, that means he still feels like he's 25. And he does. He's phenomenal. So, you know, the whole thing of like, okay, blood types require certain diets and stuff, I don't think it's so much that anymore. Based upon my experience and what I'm going through, and I've yet to do this for a year to be, you know, sort of like the shining example to say that, yeah, I've gone through and done all the detoxing and getting rid of the organisms in my system, and I'm 100% successful on the diet. But there are people who have done it that long and for multi-years, you know, 10, 20 years, and they are living examples of it. And it doesn't matter what your blood type is or your genetic background is or your heritage. And if you've ever read the book, Sherry, have you ever read the book or heard of the book called The Essene Gospel of Peace?
No.
Okay, well, it's a manuscript that was originally in the Aramaic that was found by a guy named Edmond Bordeaux Ezekiel in the Sorbonne libraries of France, and he was given permission to translate it into English, and it was a document recounting an experience back 2,000 years ago where Jesus appeared to a bunch of sick people in the wilderness, and they begged him to heal them or to teach them what to do, and he said, okay, I'll show you. And so basically, John recorded this whole experience of Jesus teaching them how to fast for the years that they lived in sin, that is to say, in error of living according to natural law, and to then prepare their foods to basically fast and give themselves enemas. So they would actually take a gourd with a trailing vine on it, go get water out of the stream, which he always referred to everything like poetically, like the angel of water and your mother earth and father son. And he says there's a fire of life and a fire of death. The fire of life is the sun in the sky. The fire of death is the things you cook your foods with. And so he basically taught them to fast and do enemas for a certain period of days, depending upon how old they were in chronological years. And then he said, then you want to resume eating your foods only that have been cooked by the fire of life and given to you by your mother, Mother Earth. So basically you take your grains, you soak them, you sprout them, you grind them into a dough, then you lie them flat on the ground and you dry them as a cracker in the sun. You take your fruits and eat them as they are, or you dry them for winter purposes, and your vegetables and things. And then also that you consume one or more quarts of goat's milk a day as a part of your diet. So basically they were instructed to eat 100% raw food diet. And he said, if you do this, then you will no disease will befall you, and you will know the angels of joy will be with you your whole life, meaning you will have a joyful, emotional, contented body experience because you won't have physical disease. So it's a fantastic little book, little paperback. I can email you the link later when I get off the phone because I think the book's out of print. I don't know. Anyways, I know it's online for free. People can read it online. But basically, that diet, I believe, was authentically espoused by the Master Jesus, and that it enables us to not rob our bodies of the chemical processes that keep us youthful when we eat an all-raw vegetarian diet with the inclusion of milk, and I still include eggs myself, and that it is the best diet in terms of quality of life. There's also something else that I wanted to bring up in this show that I thought we were going to leave the topic wide open, and I was going to bring up several topics, and it's about circulation. So one of the things that causes us to become progressively more diseased is a progressive reduction in the ability of our body to receive nutrition or delivery of oxygen and nutrients to the cells and waste elimination, because the majority of the circulation of the body is what's called the microcirculation. So the microcirculation is where you have 74% of all the circulation is where blood is going through capillaries, single file red blood cells delivering oxygen and nutrition to all parts of the body. When you are young, the number of times that the circulation completes itself, a complete revolution in the body, that microcirculation where nutrients get in and waste eliminate, will complete itself 30 to 50 times in a young, youthful, strong, energetic body. But if you're sick, diseased, weak, whatever, then that circulation reduces considerably, down to the point of being only one circulation every 10 minutes, which leads to progressive accumulation of metabolic waste in the cells and nutrition not getting into the cells. Waste can't exit, nutrition can't get in. This creates waterlogging, tissues, puffiness, weight gain, unhealthiness, insulin insensitivity, blood sugar dysregulation, all these different diseases due to poor circulation. So one of the things that I've now just recently been introduced to, just recently embracing, is a new technology. It's a pad device that you lay on. It comes over from Germany that puts into your body the 10 to 30 hertz frequency range and a very sophisticated pattern, pulsing pattern, that is the exact same frequency range that the body cells operate on. These guys figured this out. It's a patented device, patented technology, where they can duplicate the natural electrical system that the body has more of when it's younger and less of when it's sick or older. And when you lay on this thing for 8 minutes, it restores your microcirculation so well that all kinds of conditions are like going away, from light, multi-year-long psoriasis clearing up in weeks, to people's joints healing up, their cartilage growing back. Some lady that was on a cane, and after a few months on this pad device, she's grown back enough cartilage. She doesn't need a cane. She can walk normally again. Cataracts, I mean, literally, some people's eyes, like the lens in your eyes, the onion peels, that sort of like lenses are basically like layers of onion peels, and they start to perforate and come off one another, and you get distortions in light refraction when you get a cataract. Literally, people have been able to be on this device and consistently, after a few weeks, cataracts go away. So lots of different things people have seen go away as a result of just restoring circulation, which is just the ability to get rid of toxins from the cells and deliver nutrients to the system. And I am a big fan of any outside agent that can be used to make quality of life and health improve dramatically. So I'm now a big fan, proponent, user of this pad device that it's just amazing. It's just I've only used it a couple of days because I just got mine, and the upper back pain that I've dealt with for years, just chronic muscle areas that don't heal, feels so like 1,000% better, so much more comfortable. I'm less stressed. I'm 55, so even though I eat perfectly, even though I do exercise, I still got these other things like microcirculation issues that is a result of other injuries and damages earlier in my life and aging that I can overcome with technology. And it's amazing, what benefits you can get if you lay on this pad twice a day. The cumulative results of beneficial improvement is phenomenal.
And do you have this on your site yet?
I don't. This is one of those ones that you have to contact our office to get it. It's one of those ones that I won't personally buy and sell. It's going to be gotten through a specific company that I'm going to direct people to.
Okay, great.
We have a question from the audience. When you're talking about a raw diet, are you talking about just raw fruits and vegetables, or are you talking about juicing?
No, juicing too. Definitely juicing. I'll take oats and wheat and sprout oats and wheat, and then I'll take almonds and walnuts and whatever and sprout those or soak those, and I'll blend those together, a cup of each of the sprouted nuts and sprouted grains, blend those together with, four or five dates, a few shots of stevia, some salt, plenty of water, and I'll blend that all up with vanilla and cinnamon, whatever, and then I'll pour that through a cloth that enables me to take out all the fiber, and then I have a nut grain milk. I drink that. I drink fresh-made vegetable juices on a regular basis, which is, celery with some green like kale or collard. And then you put a couple of apples in there for sweetener. There's various recipes. On our website, we have raw living food recipes, like a little button banner you can click on, and it'll list all these raw living food recipes. There's also a PDF you can download that gives you more recipes. There's also another banner or button you can push on called educational videos where you can watch Lou Corona teach basically in 30 minutes the summation of what this all this is about, and you can get to meet him by watching the videos and kind of get a vibe of who he is. He's amazing. And then there's another one that's 2.5 hour long educational video that's more thorough that will inspire you even more. And then there's another short video that teaches you how to make a nut yogurt. It's all physically demonstrated in short in the way of a video on the educational video tab on the sgn80.com website. So that should give people plenty of starting. And there's also even one of the PDFs you can download to get your raw nuts from raw nut suppliers, because unfortunately in California most of your commercial suppliers of almonds are all pasteurized. So you want to make sure you get raw almonds, not pasteurized almonds. And there's a PDF you can download on the Raw Living Foods recipe page. You can download it and get the contact information for getting the raw nuts.
When you use the term wheat, do you mean einkorn, or do you have a source for a wheat that you feel is really clean?
I use einkorn and also regular hard red winter wheat, even though hard red winter is organic, of course, even though it is the hybridized kind with the gluten that may not be ideal for some people. The sprouting process predigests everything into peptides and amino acids, and it's a non-issue after that.
Okay.
And then basically,
I had to think about that. I had to think about that for a moment. Okay, now I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, the gluten is no longer structurally present because you've predigested it and broken it down through the sprouting process into peptides and amino acids.
And so you're buying an organic hard red wheat. And let me put a pause there for a second. So for people who don't know what that means, hard red wheat is what is classically used to bake bread. It has a particular characteristic to it. That's why it's just called hard red wheat. It's a particularly hard, durable, tough, but it's used traditionally in bread making because it has a particular quality of gluten, which is wonderful for baking. As an organic.
Yeah, and then one of the things about sprouting wheat, whether it's soft white wheat or whether it's hard red winter or whether it's einkorn, is that it's like nature's richest source of superoxide dismutase when it sprouts. When it sprouts, it produces a ton of superoxide dismutase, which is the body's most powerful antioxidant. So consuming high amounts of superoxide dismutase whether it's from that or from wheatgrass juice, it's a super powerful way to help your body get better and healthier, because basically you want to keep inflammation at bay and prevent it from even existing if you want to stay young and vital your whole life. And SOD is the most strongest, you know, can neutralize 1 million free radicals per second, unlike vitamin C or most other antioxidants. They can only neutralize one or a couple of molecules of free radicals, not a million at a time like superoxide dismutase does.
We have somebody in the audience who needs a clarity. When you were talking about frequency, were you talking about 10 to 13 or 10 to 30?
10 to 30, 30. 10 to 30 hertz is the actual frequency range that has been found to be when you're in your youngest biological state, healthiest state. Your body electrically runs on that current to signal the circulation to basically blood starts to become super congested and doesn't flow properly. When you see some of the videos that I could show you, if a person wants to learn about this, I could send them like a document with links and stuff, and you watch these videos and you'd be blown away how poor the circulation is on a person with, you know, even a 25-year-old just in a state of stress. And then they do the 8-minute treatment and all of a sudden all the blood is flowing fast through all the capillaries and it's like delivering everything the way it's supposed to and all these problems go away. So it's really, I wish I had the visual for people to see while we're doing this conversation, but we don't. So I could send anybody an email. They can contact our office and we'll email them any more educational information they may want. I have, you know, a bunch of things that I've gone through, studied, that I've been introduced to lately that have just, they're phenomenal products and phenomenal information that I'm really excited about. But that pad device is the most important thing I would like people to be aware of and, if possible, attain or acquire as soon as they're able, since it's a game changer.
Okay, somebody's asking too, what is BEMER?
That's it. That's the name of the technology. It's a bioelectric magnetic energy regulation. Bioelectric magnetic energy regulation is the acronym for the PAD device.
Okay, and we can put your phone number in. How can people join you? How can they join your association? Your link in for your site, but I'll put up the phone number too.
Yeah, so basically they would just, anybody can, you know, Synergistic Nutrition is set up as a private association membership, but all it takes is buying a product to become a member. It's just simply you're agreeing that we're basically doing business and doing education in the context of a private relationship rather than a public relationship. but there's no fee, there's no, you know, annual, monthly member fee or anything like that. It's just basically a principle and a philosophy of living and relating that enables us to function with a little more of our rights intact and less worrying about government agencies getting in the way of our relating. So. But, yeah, it's our phone number is 888-988-3325, 888-988-3325. The website is sgn80.com, and there's all kinds of cool stuff that people can avail themselves of that I would love to share with whoever wants to learn.
It is a website just chock full of information, more than you could look at in a day. Plan out a week to go through all of this. As usual, this was a whirlwind. Do you have any last thoughts, Richard?
I always love, you know, it's like a watching one of those races at the racetrack with dogs chasing rabbits. It's just like an amazing thing when Stephen comes on. I know we're going to, you know, we're pedal to the metal. Please have your seat strapped in because we're going to go. And it was fabulous as always. I know there's so much more that we want to talk about. That's why we'll probably have you back again, because there's always more to talk about. It's, you know, being healthy is an ever-evolving process, and you've got some really great things I want to find out more about. I'm going to go read about the Life Biotic because I think it's a great thing. I love nuts, and I love the sprouted nuts, but adding that little boost of fermentation I think is brilliant because goodness knows we can use more fermentation in our microbiome. So everybody sees how to get a hold of you. I say buy something from Stephen, get into his, you know, knowledge base, because it is vast and excellent. And I knew it would go fast, and here we are. Go ahead, Sherry.
If you've missed anything, we're going to be putting this up this afternoon as a video on our Sound Health Options site under Radio Blog Talk Radio.
And also this audio. Go ahead, Stephen.
I was going to say, remember, we also have a newsletter for, you know, the newsletters that we send out are also highly educational. I just did one on cardiovascular, you know, how to basically reverse plaque in the arteries. It's really, really, really well done, and it cites how you can basically reverse plaque and all that. And people, if they just sign up for our newsletter, will be able to continually be made aware of these new discoveries and whatever else they want to learn. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Stephen, you need from Moonstone, one of our chatters. Sherry and Richard, you've had many excellent programs on Blog Talk Radio. This may be one of the most important ever.
Cool. Thank you. Blessings, sister, whoever said that. That's appreciated.
That's wonderful. And for those that want to find this audio, which will be probably available in about 15 or 20 minutes, you'll be able to find it at the bottom of Sherry's page at soundhealthoptions.com, and click on the radio tab and click on Blog Talk Radio, and I believe there's a player down there at the lower right that will show the last 5 shows we did, and this will be the next one coming up. And for anybody who's either on iTunes, you can look for Sherry Edwards there, or if you use a podcast aggregator on your phone, such as Pocket Cast or Overcast or any of these devices, you know, any of these programs that you would use to listen to the show, you'll be able to probably find it there in about, or like Stitcher. There's the one I was trying to think of, Stitcher. It'll be probably available there in the next half hour or so. So it's, you know, and you can, like with Stitcher, it's really easy to listen to it because I know that there was enough fast talking that you're going to want to listen to this again. You can also do that, and you could forward it to your friends using Stitcher very easily. It's all built in. So I recommend all of that, and we will definitely have Stephen back again so that we once again can chase that rabbit. It's a great conversation, as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Sherry. Hugs.
Thanks, everybody.
I look forward to talking to you soon again. Bye-bye.
You bet. Everybody have a great weekend. Bye-bye.